It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, July 28th. I'm Patricia Naft. The North Fork Medical Clinic in Hotchkiss will be closing its doors today. Citing revenue and staffing issues, the clinic will consolidate to just one physician in Paonia. This is Michelle Hundley, part owner of the clinic, discussing the withdrawal of the Delta County Memorial Hospital, who took over the clinics a year ago.
We need to have financial ability to pay salaries, to pay overhead. And right now, we don't have the collections to do that because it's going to the hospital. We became employees of the hospital, and they managed the clinics for the last year. And now that they have pulled out and are no longer managing, or we are no longer employees, they have taken the mid-levels with them. And so we are back in the same position that we were. We still need mid-level providers, and we still need that support.
Right now, Hundley is working with several different resources, trying to find a way to reopen the Hotchkiss Clinic. She says it might reopen in a few months, but she's not sure. With Timothy Milner, now the only doctor in the North Fork Valley, Hundley doesn't think it will be enough for the population.
I don't think four doctors are enough for the North Fork.
Patients of Hundley and the clinic in Hotchkiss may have to travel to Delta to receive care. A new project is the latest in a long line of projects to cover irrigation channels on the western slope. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
As part of the Colorado River Basin Salinity Control Program, open irrigation ditches in Montrose County will be converted to lined pipe. Here's Leslie McWhorter with the Bureau of Reclamation.
This is the Cattleman's Ditches Pipeline Project, and it would replace about 8.5 miles of open irrigation ditches with about 6.4 miles of buried irrigation pipe. It's not going to change, the water rights won't change, so nobody's water rights will be affected by this project.
The main goal of the conversion is to cut back on salt entering the Colorado River. Right now, the land leaches salts into the water and then eventually downstream.
This project is, it's estimated that there'll be about 1,855 tons of salt per year removed by this project alone.
The project is expected to be completed spring of next year. The environmental assessment is currently open to public comment. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A motorcyclist died over the weekend in Grand Junction. The Mesa County coroner identified 60-year-old Gary Willis as the deceased. Willis's death was ruled an accident. He was not wearing a helmet at the time of the accident. It didn't take long for the settling of the Colorado River before there were laws dividing it up for use. For nearly a century, layers and layers of laws and agreements have created a legal framework for how the river is controlled and allocated, called the Law of the River. This is part one of a two-part series looking at the unique legal guidelines that govern the Colorado River. From KGNU, here's Hannah Lee Myers.
Around 40 million people and thousands of species in the United States are directly dependent on the Colorado River. But overuse is pushing the river to the brink of collapse.
Controversy over water in the drought-stricken West. The Colorado River provides water for seven states.
14 years of drought have pushed the system closer to failure than ever.
This lifeblood resource to the Southwest is under strict legal control. But some water experts are now saying the legal contractual agreements have allowed the Colorado River to face collapse.
This is just a question of more was promised than what's available. So how do you deal with that?
Doug Kinney is Western Water Policy Director at the University of Colorado Law School. Kinney is referencing the 1922 Colorado River Compact, an agreement that some call the backbone of the law of the river. The Colorado River Compact divides use of the resource between seven states and Mexico. It also separates the watershed into upper and lower basins, allocating 7.5 million acre-feet of water to each side of the basin. But as Kinney explains, the 20 years of data used in the Colorado River Compact to divide up that water was flawed.
Well, it turns out that those 20 years that they had records for was 20 of the wettest years in the river's history.
Not long after the compact was written, the error was discovered, and all parties had to accept that there simply isn't enough water in the entire Colorado River Basin to provide the flows that had been promised to each state. Doug Kinney says he agrees with the majority of water experts and legislators that the states should address the Colorado River Compact's flawed overallocation out of court. Kinney says if the states sue each other for more water rights, the U.S. Supreme Court will be responsible for reallocating water from the Colorado River.
And the Supreme Court doesn't have a particularly good track record of dealing with interstate water issues. It's, you know, it's a more of a technical challenge than the court's really set up to deal with.
If one or all of the seven basin states decide to reopen and change the Colorado River Compact, congressional approval is required. Ken Neubecker, executive director of the Western Rivers Institute, says some of the basin states are hesitant to put the fate of the Colorado River in the hands of a Congress that's seen a significant shift in power since the compact was signed in the 20s.
Colorado has only seven people in Congress, and we have the biggest number of all of the upper basin states. California has 55, I believe, 54, 55 congressmen. And since any reopening of the compact would have to have congressional approval, it's now a little dicier.
In the face of looming shortage, a multitude of water agreements, compacts, and plans have been added to the flawed Colorado River Compact to make it work. The law of the river is the term that encapsulates all those pieces of Colorado River law into one.
For untold centuries, the turbid waters of the Colorado River battered their way through the forbidding canyons of its 1,700-mile course, traversing the arid southwest. From the time of its discovery, it remained a challenge to engineers who sought to control it.
That clip is from a 1936 Bureau of Reclamation film outlining man's attempt to control the river. In 1948, the Upper Colorado River Basin Compact was signed. That's an agreement designed to ease the strain of water shortage in the upper basin by changing the formula for how the upper basin states share water. By the 1950s, building dams and reservoirs to ensure control and constant availability of Colorado River flows was a long-established trend, central to many of the river agreements. But environmentalists say it's a trend that's pushing the river to ecological collapse. No state in the country has a water law system like Colorado. And in part two of this Stories of the River water law episode, we'll hear how the state's long-established water laws are clashing with environmental attempts at legal conservation. For KGNU and Stories of the River, I'm Hanley Myers.
Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.